Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John, along with Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. Training camp is rolling. Yesterday was an exclusive season ticket member day, not open to the public. Today, first practice open to the public.
Oh, boy.
So if you're driving up there, let's talk some Chiefs for you. Let's talk some football.
Patrick Mahomes out there zipping no-look passes already.
Let's talk some football.
Dropping dimes on guys.
Are you ready for some football?
Practice starts at 9:15. Let's listen to a few more cuts from Andy Reid.
Doggone it.
Let's go to Andy Reid on Mecole Hardman. We talked yesterday and the day before about Mecole Hardman's comments that he did not work with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason because they were not in the same vicinity.
No, they were not in the same vicinity.
The point is they didn't work together in the offseason, and Nate was very upset by this fact. And so let's listen to what Andy Reid has to say about his wide receiver, Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I like Mecole's work that he put in this offseason, the way he handled himself. I like the way he came out today and what he did here. I look for good things from him.
It's kind of a follow-up to what Adam asked about Mecole Hardman when he spoke to the media a couple days ago. He was talking about the work he did, but he said that he didn't get a chance to sync up with Patrick Mahomes, that kind of a buzz with the fans. How important is it, or maybe is it overrated, the idea of those guys getting those reps in the offseason where they go work together?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's important. He'll keep getting better as he goes here. This will be a big camp for him.
I'm going to tell you that it's not overrated. What's wrong with you over there? You're spitting up and everything. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh, that intro was great. Can you please play that again? I just want to hear that again. Oh, my gosh.
It is important.
Oh, that's great.
Right?
He's had a great offseason. I love the way he went about his business and everything. So he did not work out with Patrick Mahomes. Is that important? Yeah, that's important. This is going to be a big camp for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's important. He'll keep getting better as he goes here. This will be a big camp for him.
Yeah, I know.
That's a coach who's not happy that Mecole Hardman didn't work out with
really?
Patrick Mahomes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't want to talk about that a whole lot today. This is a big camp for him. He'll keep getting better as he goes. This is a big camp for him.
Well, that was going to be a fact no matter what. This is a big camp for him.
Yes.
But I didn't get a chance to get up with him. We just wasn't in the same vicinities, you know, when he was training and everything. But we got plenty of time in camp to get that the chemistry down and the timing down. So it shouldn't be an issue.
So it's a big camp for him. Doesn't mean he's got no chance. But clearly, Andrew said, yeah, that is important. So this is a big camp for him. Like he's got more to prove to Andy Reid than guys who might have worked with Patrick Mahomes this offseason.
Well, I think it says something, too. Right? If you paid attention this offseason, they went out and tried to get some receivers. I mean, they went after Schuster. They went after the slot guy who ended up going to the Titans.
What's his name? Okay.
Hey.
Quick fire. Quick draw McGraw.
They drafted
good job.
One.
All right.
They drafted a wide receiver.
They clearly were yes. trying to sign a receiver.
Right.
You know,
That was no secret. They lost out on some guys. They were going after Curtis Samuel.
But he was just
right.
His price tag was too high. Oh, I'd love to have him.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, it's important.
Yeah, it's important, and I think that sends a message. Yeah, I mean, those guys know those things are going on, right?
Everyone approaches things differently. Like some receivers would have taken that maybe as something to motivate them. You know, I better get my ass in gear. They're trying to sign Juju Smith-Schuster. Let me ring up my quarterback and see if we can get together and work on some stuff. So I'm ready to hit the ground running in training camp.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's important. He'll keep getting better as he goes here. And this will be a big camp for him.
Some people don't, so we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding.
That's right.
What kind of pudding are we talking about?
See that pudding?
No, no, it's not. As soon as I said that, I regretted it.
The chocolate pudding or the vanilla pudding?
The pills in the pudding.
No,
pudding.
The point is... No, as I continue to try to ignore this and move on to the next topic.
You said pudding. What am I saying? I'm not supposed to just ignore that?
It's an old time saying.
You're going to bring up some Jell-O next? Jell-O jigglers!
Maybe.
We're going to talk about some picture pages.
Picture pages!
I loved picture pages, by the way. That magic marker that would make that.
We can talk about people who should still be in prison. How about that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. But, anyway,
yeah, moving on.
Back to Mecole Hardman. Yeah. The proof will be in the pudding. And this is a big camp. If he goes out, has a great camp, busts his butt, stays focused, and improves on some things, this all becomes a moot point.
I read that him and Mahomes hooked up yesterday for big long pass.
Oh, they were in the same vicinity.
They were
finally.
They were in the facilities.
Facilities.
Facilities. The thing about that is, we know Hardman can run a vertical route, right? We know he's really fast. The question for me is, like, the other parts of the route tree, how good can he run his other routes? Is he going to be where Patrick Mahomes expects him to be when he does those things? That's what
he said. He worked on it on his own.
Good. I hope.
And the proof will be on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's up to him to prove it.
Yep.
And I hope he does.
I do too.
It'll be detrimental to the team if he doesn't.
And he's got a great opportunity. I hope he follows through. But you can't really say that he did everything
right
that he could have in the offseason.
I'm not rooting against him. I'm rooting for him. Right. I'm hoping for him to have a great year.
Chiefs.
We're all for him.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Andy Reid talk about Tyrann Mathieu now. This is Andy Reid on Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann Mathieu has been back on Twitter, too.
Well,
yeah, he knows. He said it when he came here. I just want to play. And that's where he's at.
Okay,
he loves it here. He just wants to play.
I just want to play and tweet and then delete tweets and play. If you're looking for a player that tweets, Tyrann Mathieu's your guy.
Yeah. No.
And we'll delete some tweets, maybe.
I like it. I'm not a, you know, if I see some grammatical errors, I'll delete a tweet.
Yeah, I don't think that's why he's deleting his. I don't think it's the grammar that's issue.
He's age like, stop again.
I tell you what, you talk about people having different voices on Twitter than they do in person. Because then you listen, like you read his tweets and then you listen to him when he talks to the media and it sounds like two different people.
Smart.
This is a good tweet from yesterday.
People on their toes.
And it seems like maybe... I don't know the timing of it. 19 hours ago, just after the Xavier Howard news blew up about him demanding a trade and writing the lengthy
stop,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that everyone talked about that, right?
Yep.
And so then Tyrann Mathieu tweeted this. Do you think this had anything to do with that? He tweets, "Isn't it funny how the kid that disrupts the class seems to get the most attention, while the one who is truly diligent gets no attention? Funny world." That's like, this guy's bitching and complaining and everyone's talking about him. I'm just here on time working.
Yep.
No one wants to talk about me.
No one wants to give me that contract.
Well, but we talked about him a lot.
I think I'm going to say we talked about him a lot. I think the question is, like, which guy gets paid? I think the old adage is that the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
It sure does.
And then he followed that up with, never get too attached to nothing.
But I would also say that at some point, the squeaky wheel, if it squeaks over and over again after getting grease, gets replaced.
People will change. Your environment may change. Stay true to yourself. Only you know your true impact.
Facts.
He's a professional. He's out there to work.
Just wants to play ball, man.
Let's hear from Tyrann Mathieu. Here he updates us on his contract talks. And he does it not via Twitter, but at the podium yesterday.
Not disappointed at all. You know, I think most people that know me, they know I love to play football. So I have another chance to do that. So it's all about my teammates. It's all about the guys around me. And just me continuing trying to be the person that I am. So, and not letting anything outside of that kind of influence, you know, how I operate day to day.
It's just your level of optimism, though, that a deal is going to get done. Did you sort of set aside a timeline at all that you wanted something done before camp?
No, not really. I think most players would like to, you know, have things, you know, done, you know, before they, you know, get to the season. But like I said, man, I'm all about ball. I love ball. So, you know, it's important for me to kind of stay focused on that and, you know, let other things just handle themselves.
Not to belabor the point, but on the subject of your contract, you said a month ago you thought it would get done. Just one, I assume you still feel confident it will get done. And is there a time where it becomes a distraction if you get to the season that, and, you know, it does get to where maybe you don't seem frustrated now, but maybe frustration could be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing, is not letting anything become a distraction. The only thing on my mind right now is getting off to a fast start, making plays, and continuing to lead my group. I think anything else takes away from, you know, who I am.
So it'll get done?
Yes.
Any thoughts on what Tyrann Mathieu said?
I'm glad he doesn't seem to want to let this become a distraction.
I love ball.
I love lamp.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I love lamp. Are you just pointing at things in the room and saying that you love them?
Yes. Let's hear now from Clark Hunt and what he had to say about Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann's the ultimate professional and really has been his entire career in the league, and definitely during his couple of years with us. I know he's going to be at his very best this year. I've heard Tyrann say that he would like to extend his career in Kansas City, and we feel the same way about that. Hopefully that'll work out. The timing's obviously uncertain.
Let's hear Tyrann Mathieu talk about one of his new teammates in the secondary, Mike Hughes, former first-round pick who the Chiefs acquired from the Minnesota Vikings. Here is Tyrann Mathieu on Mike Hughes.
Well, he's been growing, you know, ever since his first day, you know, at OTAs. You could kind of see him growing. You could see him understanding the scheme, understanding the players that he's working with. So it's important for him to continue to kind of take these next couple weeks to continue to get better within the scheme. And I think he has enough talent. You know, I think the guy can play. You know, he's athletic. He could catch punts. You know, got great ball skills. So I think most importantly is all about the scheme, him understanding, you know, where he's supposed to be, what he's not supposed to do. And then from there is football. You know, see the ball, you know, try to make a play.
I feel like Mike Hughes has some upside there.
Sure he does. First round pick. Stay healthy, though.
Catch punts?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big step when it comes to the punting situation. Catch the punts.
Would you like to hear more from Clark Hunt or Joe Tooney?
Well, what else is Clark Hunt talking about?
All right.
What's he talking about?
A wide variety of topics.
Okay. Yeah, he's the guy in charge, right?
He's one of the Clarks.
He's one of the. I mean, we talk about the Clarks all the time. Mm-hmm. Why not hear from the Clark?
You never want to be in a situation where.
To the Clarks, and you know,
I talk to the Clarks.
The Clark family.
To apologize to the Clarks.
But I deeply apologize to the Clarks and the Clark, you know, my family.
I talk to the Clarks.
It's just so great.
So yeah, I deeply apologize to the Clarks.
The Clark family.
You know, I talked to the Clarks.
I don't know why. Fact that so many guys do it.
You know, I talked to the Clark family. Clarks.
You ever see that? You ever see that movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton? That's what I think. Like there's a room full of Clarks.
Underrated.
All a bunch of Clarks with different personalities, and you know, there's Messy Clark. There's, you know.
I got a penis, Steve.
Let's hear from Clark Hunt.
You know, I talked to
how he thinks Patrick Mahomes will respond to the Super Bowl loss.
Knowing Pat like I do, I think he's going to take the disappointment of the Super Bowl and raise his game to another level. He obviously had the rehab that he was working through in the offseason, but he was there for every OTA, really was 100% available during the OTAs. And I know he was eager to get here and get camp going because he's looking forward to getting back on the field. Just that type of mentality, the type of competitor he is, I think he'll use the experience and be better for it.
The first sentence, knowing like Pat like I do.
Right.
Seems like you don't know. I mean, like, he doesn't like to be called Pat, right? He's Patrick.
I think that was his mother that said that.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know what.
Maybe he doesn't care.
You know. Like I told you, that's a big deal, though.
Yep. I know. You taught me that.
He's Patrick's boss.
I never would call you Steve.
My mother drilled that into my head.
Mm-hmm.
You're Steven.
Wonder if his mom did the same.
Well, yeah, I would think so. She's the one that said it.
She's taking to Twitter about it.
He's Patrick. Hopefully, she doesn't then follow up with the things that my mom would say then.
Huh?
That son of a bitch is Steve. You're Steven.
Jeez, yeah. That sure stuck.
You understand me?
Yeah, Mom.
Yeah, I got it, Mom.
I'll slap Steve right out of your mouth.
Hey, Mama.
I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing, Mom.
Mama.
It's the only time I'd hear Jacob.
If you'd have just named me Elvis like you wanted to, wouldn't have this problem. But I'm Steven. And Steve St. John Sr. is Steve.
Tell you, man, I wonder, man. I could have worked with Elvis St. John.
Oh, sure. That's what she wanted until she was talked out of it by, I think, my dad and my Uncle
we
Phil.
We can still call you Elvis.
No, it was on the table.
We could have been. You know, I was named after Nat King Cole.
Right. It was a last-second decision, I guess.
We could have had an Elvis and a Nat here.
Right. But here's the funny part. Apparently, what I was told is that, and not that Elvis didn't have a beautiful head of hair, but I was born with a nice, beautiful, full head of hair, she said. And she goes, when I saw your full head, it looked just like your dad's. And now my dad, you know, neither one of us have any hair. But that's why, you know, hey. I knew I had to name you Steve then. Steven, you know.
Yeah.
Just my dad had a bunch of hair. I ain't got none. Neither do I.
Life funny, isn't it?
Yeah, see, but it's the same.
Now you're funny, too.
Bald just like
now, yeah. Everybody funny.
Here is Clark Hunt.
Which one are we on?
Three.
Okay.
He was asked about whether he's involved with coaching hires.
Philosophically, I let the leaders within our organization hire their staffs, whether that's Mark Donovan on the business side, Brett with the scouting staff, or Andy with his coaching staff. That's something that's really up to them. I'm obviously aware of who they're hiring, but I let them make the decisions.
I like that. He's not some meddlesome owner that sticks his nose in everybody's work. He trusts his people.
Hmm. You talking about?
Well, like Jerry Jones is, for example.
Sticks his plastic nose in everyone's business.
I think he's, you know what? I think he's gotten a bad rap for his past because he doesn't really do that anymore.
Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
He's at the coaches meeting every week, isn't he?
But he's not making decisions like he used to, or else Johnny Manziel would be on that football team.
Well, they locked him out of the draft room.
Well, he's on a boat somewhere.
I mean, he's not as bad as he was.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
I'm glad that Clark Hunt's never been that bad.
Okay, that's.
I like the fact that you hire good people, let them do their job. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's hired the best in Andy Reid.
Look, he's still, Jerry Jones is a different cat, man.
Yeah.
He has his own radio show, and
he's the GM. He's making moves. It's,
right.
It's vastly different than Clark.
Vastly.
So I
get what you're saying.
Let's go with Hunt number five.
Five is a lot.
Here is
Johnny Five.
Clark Hunt with a vaccine message for you.
First, I want to say, at the end of the day, it's an individual's decision as to whether they want to be vaccinated. Obviously, the NFL, working in conjunction with the Players Association, has come up with protocols, and they're different for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. And there's no doubt that it will help the teams that have higher vaccination rates. I think your chances of maybe losing key players or losing position groups throughout the season will be diminished. At the end of the day, it was really a function attention of our team leaders, not so much the coaching staff or Brett Veach, but Patrick Mahomes and the other leaders on the team encouraging their teammates to get vaccinated. I think that's why we have such a high vaccination rate.
Patrick Mahomes being a leader.
Just another example of it. Just another example.
Lamar Jackson still hasn't been vaccinated. And I guess he's away from the team for a week and a half.
He has COVID, right?
Right. Second time now. So
a week and a half of not only not practicing, but not getting any exercise.
Nah, he's got everything figured out.
Not getting any training.
With throwing the ball. I don't know
how he didn't need any work.
I don't know how he could improve upon that.
Well, I hope
he's extremely accurate, but then they ought to have someone at practice yelling, "Hey, it's the playoffs!" And then, whoa. He just threw that right into the ground.
I don't think that's how it works.
I said they should. They should find out. Mm-hmm. Like, he's completed like 7 passes in a row, and someone says, "Postseason!" And an interception, Lamar.
I think it has to be the real postseason.
Well, wouldn't you try?
Yeah, at least try to recreate. Practice is all about. You try to recreate.
You try to simulate those.
I think, completely.
Paint some postseason logos on the field.
Completely crumbling under the pressure of the
playoffs.
Postseason.
2022.
Fumble.
Well, in all seriousness, I hope he stays out of the hospital.
It's a competitive advantage if your quarterback is vaccinated.
It's a competitive advantage, and the more players on your team that are vaccinated, the better of a competitive advantage.
The NFL has seen to that. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about personal choice, we're talking about anything else. What's best for his team.
This is all about dollar signs.
And Patrick Mahomes does what's best for his team. So,
well, if you want to go the old Mark Mangino route, the NFL, they're not doing this because they're super concerned about player safety. They're doing this because they're super concerned about having games and not having games canceled and all those things. And so they don't really, So one of the players said, the NFL is going to make your life miserable if you don't get vaccinated. Yes. Yes, they are. Because they don't want you making their bottom line miserable. So that's how it works.
Hard words from a hard man. That's Nate Ducati. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One of the biggest acquisitions in the offseason, this past offseason for the Chiefs, was signing free agent offensive lineman Joe Tooney away from the New England Patriots. Tooney had a chance to speak to the media yesterday, and he's a guy that plays multiple positions on the offensive line, something that Andy Reid loves. And here Joe Tooney discusses his flexibility on the line.
Yeah, you always want to, be able to play multiple positions, whether it's center guard, guard tackle, or, all three. And, I think coaches do a great job. Coach Heck has done a great job of, getting guys, in different positions. And, because like you said, it's football, it's a physical game. You never know what's going to happen, and just got to have the next guy ready to go. And I think everyone in the O-line room just wants to work together, work hard, and just do the best they can.
The follow-up, is it harder, the physical aspect of changing the positions and the different techniques, or the mental side of digesting and knowing all the different roles?
It's a nice combination of both, I guess. I guess it depends on the guy, but. Like for the communication, the mental, everyone's talking the whole time. Everyone's trying to communicate. Everyone be on the same page. And physically, it is a little different from each position, but I guess it depends on the guy.
Here's more from Joe Tooney. He was asked about rookie guard Trey Smith.
He's really strong. He's physical. He's smart. He studies his playbook really hard. And, it's everyone's communicating up there on the O-line. And, but he's doing a great job, and it's great to be part of this group.
Here, Joe Tooney talks about the chemistry of the offensive line and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, OTAs were great to get a lot of reps in and a lot of time in with the offense as a whole, and day one out here it went well, and I think we're just going to keep building, and but they're doing a great job. Creed also getting his playbook a lot, and Patrick knows, so much. So it's been great.
Yesterday at practice, the first team offensive line from left to right was Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Mike Remmers. You're talking about four of the five offensive linemen that were not a part of the organization last year. Orlando Brown, they traded for. Joe Tooney was a free agent. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith drafted. And then Mike Remmers, they re-signed as a free agent. The second team offensive line, Lucas Niang, Nick Allegretti, Austin Blythe, LDT, and Andrew Wiley. Niang was the third round pick that opted out last year. Allegretti started in the Super Bowl. Blythe started last year at center for the Rams. LDT started for the Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl. And Andrew Wiley has started many games, including the Super Bowl last year. I mean, that's a damn near respectable offensive line that's the second string right now. So the depth is very good.
Yep, and that's important because the odds are that those guys are going to end up playing some this year.
But it's also very exciting that they have two rookies right next to each other running with the ones right now in Humphrey and Trey Smith. Here, Joe Tooney, and his experience is even more important if you can have a couple of rookies on the interior offensive line. Joe Tooney was asked how he can help the rookies get up to speed.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, being in this bubble, kind of being, you know, here on campus, you know, we spend so much time together, always talking, always, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, or, you know, explaining, or what do you mean by this, or just talking to each other and, you know, using our collective, you know, brains to try and, you know, totally be on the same page, and so it's been going well.
Man, it's wild how they, I mean, even when you know you have a problem, sometimes you can't fix the problem all in one offseason. And the amount of resources, I mean, you got to credit Brett Veach and, of course, Andy Reid, who has plenty to say, but the ability to go out. I mean, think about it now. If I'd have told you at the end of the Super Bowl or the week afterwards, you know, we all knew, like, this offensive line, I know injuries were a problem, but, you know, This needs to be fixed. And at that time, we didn't know what the future was for Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher with the organization. But if I'd have told you, they're gonna give up what it takes to acquire Orlando Brown, they're gonna spend the huge amount of money to get Joe Tooney, they're gonna spend a second round pick on Creed Humphrey, they're going to spend another pick on a guy that now is considered early on the steal of the draft in Trey Smith. You bring back Remmers. Go out and sign away the starting center from the Rams, and he might not even start for the Chiefs. Probably not going to. I mean, all those things, that's incredible. The amount of resources that they had the ability to throw at the problem. Because maybe you wanted to, but maybe you can't. They had the draft pick that it took to get Orlando Brown. They had the money in the cap room that it took to get Tooney. They had the draft capital to land perhaps two starting offensive linemen. And then you credit the scouting department and everyone else. But that is the definition of overhauling a position in one offseason. Well, on paper it looks great, but I mean, that there's no way I would have believed that they would have done all that in the offseason. Well, you know, they'll maybe add one or two new guys. Four guys right now running with the ones that were not part of the organization last year for a team that's been to back-to-back Super Bowls. And the exciting thing about it is, if it works out, and like you could put things together with duct tape and bring in some veterans and some guys that are, you know, don't have a whole bunch of football ahead of them, but they can help you win now. You've got, if things work out, Orlando Brown, who could be the left tackle for several years if they sign him to an extension, who's young and maybe hasn't played his best football yet. You've got Joe Tooney, who's in his prime, and they signed to a long-term deal. You got a couple of rookies with massive upside. And then I know that Remmers is out there now, but Lucas Niang, also another guy with massive upside. They just didn't fix the problem now, but it looks like they fixed it for several years to come. It's not only an upgrade this year, it's an upgrade when you talk about long-term, longevity, and upside. Because, look, is it already better now than the offensive line that won the Super Bowl? No, because you had Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz.
Right.
That was a terrific set of tackles.
Yep.
And they may never get, and they may never, you know, Orlando Brown and whoever it is, Remmers or Niang, it may never get to that level. Because those guys, that was a badass set of tackles that helped them win the Super Bowl. But overall, all five guys, and then you could add, you know, a couple of backups there, maybe the position as a whole is better and deeper. But that's a hell of a job of doing all that in one offseason and not having to gut other parts of your team.
Yeah. Look, there's some areas on the field that we are a little disappointed that they weren't able to address this offseason. But if you gave me the choice, I'll take that considering what they've done with the offensive line. Because they had a lot of work to do, and they did a lot of work. The number one priority on this team should be, for the next 15 years, protect Patrick Mahomes. Protect, by far, your biggest investment. Don't subject him to what happened in the Super Bowl if you can possibly help it ever again. And so they'll probably have to continue to address it. You're right, they've addressed it for the future in many ways, but they'll probably have to continue. As time goes on, they should never neglect it. You know, they should constantly be looking to make sure there's not just a good front line starting offensive line, but that they've got some guys that they can, you know, maybe that have an eye toward the future that can serve as backups. Because last year they didn't look like they had a bad offensive line going into the season. It was injury after injury after injury and a couple of opt outs that led them to the position they were in the Super Bowl. So it's important to have that depth. But yes, I mean,
this could offer continuity for the next several years.
Important.
You can make the argument, okay, for the next, I don't know, three or four seasons, Brown, Tooney, Humphrey, Smith, Niang, or whoever. I mean, if Niang doesn't work out and you just got to figure out right tackle, then okay, you could do that.
That's one position.
But the nucleus, if you got four guys, okay, this is it. Here they are. Here we go.
Yep. And so,
pretty damn good.
Yeah, so it should be, and it was their biggest priority this offseason.
Beach.
Great. And I think, and I keep saying this, but the interior of that offensive line, the ability to run the football, as much as I know the modern stat people tell you it doesn't matter, that is an element of protecting Patrick Mahomes. If the other team has to worry about the run game a little bit, that slows their pass rush down. That's part of the reason that the Bucs, especially in the second half of that game, just teed off on Patrick Mahomes because they didn't have to worry about anything else. They knew it was going to be a pass every time. They knew he was going to be a sitting duck back there, and they teed off on him. If you can keep the other team honest, then that slows the pass rush down. Everything you can do to keep Patrick Mahomes clean is important. The only thing that can stop Patrick Mahomes is a word I don't want to say out loud.
Don't say it.
So keep him clean.
But if you're going up to training camp, that's one of the main things to watch.
Yeah, because there's battles there, but good battles.
Let me hear again what Andy Reid had to say about his rookie guard, Trey Smith.
Yeah, well, it was consistency. I mean, he had done a nice job. I mean, not that it's 100% perfect, young guy, but he showed enough to legitimately be in that position for right now. And then he's got to compete. So we'll see how all that goes when we get the pads on.
We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just had it piss some people off, but let's do it anyway. It's, did you know it's National Chicken Wing Day?
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Favorite wings go.
Like from where?
Well, yes. Like, what?
Because
like,
I make the best wings chicken. I've
what
ever
were you gonna
had.
Say? Like, chicken. Well, my favorite wings are chicken wings.
Well, I don't know if you meant like what kind of sauce or if there's a certain place you want to get like
favorite
them from.
Favorite wings.
Well, the ones I make at home are the best. But if I'm gonna go out and get them somewhere, I'm a peanut guy. I love the peanut wings.
You just say that because everyone else says it, so you could be like one of the. That's not. That's there's no imagination there. It feels like.
Well.
I mean, is it true?
I could try to.
Is it true?
Outsmart myself and come up with something else, but no, yeah, it's true. For me, they're the best wings in town.
That's all I wanted to hear. What you know?
But I like a lot of different. I mean, there's a lot of places. Johnny's has great wings. Johnny's has tremendous wings.
Jake, when you used to eat meat, favorite wings?
Well, I mean, the place that exists now. I mean, back in the day, there's a place called Boardroom Barbecue. And they had the best wings, but it doesn't exist.
Didn't they have like the cow in a suit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my mom's favorite barbecue place.
Dude. You know what I love when animals have clothes on, they kind of suits sitting there like
yeah.
No, that was right down the street from where I grew up.
Right across the street from Taco Villa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, like that was my
that
quarter.
Was close to where, I lived in Overland Park.
I ran 95th and Antioch.
Oh, you ran that place.
They had a place called JC Sports Cards.
Yep.
They had Blockbusters right there.
There was a Hardee's there.
Hardee's, yeah. And then it turned into Pry Cleaners. That was my first real job. Pry Cleaners. As a young 16-year-old.
I would say Q39's got some incredible wings.
My boy
wings.
Reed Ross.
Q39's got some phenomenal wings.
So, but right now, if you're going to go have wings, where are you going?
Peanut.
On National Wings.
I mean, I'm going to make my own wings anymore. But,
Grinders has some good wings. Those hot atomic wings.
Yeah, nobody's answered correctly yet.
What's your answer?
The correct answer.
What is the correct answer?
You must go about two blocks away from where my mother grew up in Armordale.
Ooh. Okay.
To El Pollo Rey.
Oh man.
Yeah, boy.
I was just down in Ninfa's yesterday, by the way, right in the neighborhood there.
Just wanted to let you know.
El Pollo Rey is tremendous.
El Pollo Rey.
You can smell that from down the block.
Smell me from down the block.
There's so many great places to eat on that
for different
street.
Different reasons.
I know, right? I always, whenever I go there, then I go and because I know.
Sav, baby.
I know where my mom's childhood home was before the flood.
Mm.
It's just right over there, and so it's always. I enjoy going there. I enjoy going to Ninfa's and Reina's and San Antonio.
Yep.
But
Arts.
Yep.
El Pollo Rey, Arts.
Arts is on Kansas Ave. Mm-hmm. I used to.
Steve St. John Sr. has been known to be spotted at El Pollo Rey many, many times.
He used to have a place called Carmen's down there.
Mm-hmm. I wish he ate meat. I'd say at sometime soon I'll take us out to lunch at El Pollo Rey, but certainly can't have you down
Is
there
that
with
fish? Beans?
No, they do not
Pollo
have fish.
Pollo means chicken in
they
Spanish.
They don't have fish. But what we do have is they have rice.
I'll eat rice.
They have tortillas.
Tortillas,
they have frijoles.
Rice and beans.
They have that. They have Mexican Coke that'll make you crazy if you drink it and run up and down the street.
Real cane sugar.
Real sugar. None of that high fructose corn syrup.
Make into cornholio.
Cornholio!
Yeah, that's right.
Leave me for my baller!
Get your jarritos.
Oh, tamarindo. Jarritos.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Andy Reid number 5. We didn't play that one. He was asked what he wanted to see from the first day of camp.
Yeah, well, you want to see execution, especially before you get pads on. One install is in. Let's see execution, whether it's the shifts, the motions, the snap count. Let's see that. Let's make sure we're not going backwards and we're going forward. Let's stay on side on the defensive side when the snap count's a little bit longer than the first sound. So, and then assignment football on the back end.
Don't go backwards. Go forwards. That's what I like. That was Andy Reid. And that, my friends, is some coverage for you of Chiefs training camp. Brought to you by Mike DePasquale in the law offices of DePasquale Moore. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car wreck, remember, Mike's got this. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Also, thank you to Bud Light, Chiefs training camp coverage on Sports Radio 810, presented by Bud Light, the official beer of your Kansas City Chiefs, and CBD American Shaman, over 40 local locations. You should go in there for a free sample today. CBD American Shaman. Life is better with a feather. Back at this on WHP.